Just gone 5:30. It's a Friday afternoon, and we normally do pubs or gadget guides or other things. But is gadget guide week this week? What?
Beer, wine.
Beer, yes, that was the one I was trying to think of, beer and wine. It is gadget guide week this week, and Rob and Lawrence are here. Hello.
Good evening, Tim.
And are you all right?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Nice to be joined in the studio with you today as well, rather than Julian.
Oh,
off gallivanting around wherever he is.
He's gone to Amsterdam on a business trip.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep.
Anyway, welcome along to gadget guide number 54. 16th of 2014, and in a few minutes' time we're going to be talking to Chris from the Cottenham Repair Cafe about how to get your gadgets fixed. First of all, though, quick bit of tech news, and this week, of course, the big announcement has been coming from Apple.
So, as we were saying on the last gadget guide, Apple announced the iPhone 6, and also in the mix, the 6 Plus, as well as the Apple Watch. Not going to be called an iWatch, it's the Apple Watch. And it has a knob.
I love the fact.
Yes, Apple decided they had to have knobs on.
I don't like the fact they've called the 6 Plus the 6 Plus either. It sounds like some sort of type of medicine you're supposed to give children.
It does. But
I love the particularly witty tagline as well, bigger is bigger. What is that meant to mean?
Right.
rather daft. But yes, they finally have caught up with screen sizes on the iPhone 6. It's now the same sort of size as your average Android and Windows phone device.
In comparison to some of the other iPhones, though, it does look quite large. It just goes to show how small the iPhones actually are in comparison to the Androids now.
Basically was a good inch behind, yes. Yeah. So it is catch-up time. The 6 Plus being 5.5 inches is slightly bigger than some of the Android phones, but the same sort of size as things like the Galaxy Note. So it is more a phablet than a phone.
The technical sort of description of the size, by the way, it's about the size of a Pop-Tart. The 6.
Right.
But if you want to visualise how big it is, it's the same size as a Pop-Tart.
I've not eaten a Pop-Tart for years.
They still exist.
Yes, and so I'm not sure many people have, actually.
The other thing, of course, that they've been in the news for a lot is that they... I don't know if they commissioned it or worked with them on it, but there was a new U2 album.
I've just noticed this afternoon.
Yes. Lots of controversy.
Yeah, basically they worked with U2 on this new album. Not only did they give it away to all of the iPhone users, they actually forced it down onto everyone's phone.
I know.
Everyone with an iPhone now has the U2 album.
And an iPad. They shoved it onto iPads.
Oh, really?
Well.
I've not checked that.
And Neil got it onto every single device of his.
I saw it on Facebook earlier, and I thought, no, that can't be right. And I checked, and it's there in my music library.
So, of course, you might want to ask Apple for a refund on your data allowance on your mobile service, because they've probably chewed lots of people's data allowances. I mean, talking about data allowances, GIFGAF have decided to limit data on their new plans.
Now, these are the guys that they've always sort of advertised themselves
always
as
will be unlimited.
Always unlimited, and the sort of the people's phone network.
Yes.
And that's always been their selling point. So I'm sure this is going to cause a lot of controversy. They've sort of tried to ease the blow a little bit because they've left it unlimited on their biggest plan, which is their £20 a month plan. So if you're on that one, then you still keep your unlimited data. And I think they were talking about dropping that to £18 a month.
Yes.
But certainly if you're on one of the smaller plans, which in the past people have thought of as being very good value, you're now limited to...
3 gigs on the £12 plan and 5 gigs on the £15 plan. The £18 discount is only for new existing members until March.
And to be fair, 3 and 5 gigs is still a reasonably large amount of data.
Yes,
you're not going to run out instantly.
Even my heavy use, I'd battled it 5 gigs, so I don't see that as a major problem. Other issues that have been running around, Google apparently potentially lost some passwords, but there's been some analysis of this. You've probably seen the story about Google passwords hacked 5 billion accounts or something. It looks like that they've done an analysis on the data and found it's possibly from actual websites where people have signed in using their Google accounts.
Right.
So the password is probably not the Google account if people have been good and not used the same password on their Google and on another website, because a lot of people are saying that's not the password I've ever used on Gmail and so on. So always a good idea, separate passwords for different websites, and if you are worried, change your password.
And just like we've said before, this is a really good time. Once again, if you haven't got one already, go and get yourself a password manager. So this is an application that basically it's a collection of, it's like an address book, but it's secure. So it keeps all of your passwords for all of your different websites safe, encrypted. You basically remember one master password. And then it'll store all of the other ones. And it means you don't have to remember 100 passwords.
And the other one to do is turn on two-factor authentication.
Yep.
All of the online-based email services now offer this. Basically, if you access your Google Mail or your Yahoo Mail or your Microsoft Mail from a device that you haven't used before,
yeah.
it will want a password generated by your mobile phone. Now,
yep.
it either arrives as a text message or there's an app on your phone to generate the password. So you've got something in your possession that no one else has got, your phone, and that's securing your access to your email. So worth turning on.
So I was just going to say, we've done Apple, we've done Google. Third big company
Microsoft.
Of the week, Microsoft.
everyone's favourite small budget game that went big, Minecraft, has finally sold out to Microsoft.
And this really was, if you've not played Minecraft, it's the most retro modern game that you can possibly imagine. The graphics are horrific,
yeah.
but the gameplay is amazing. You can build pretty much anything. People have built models of the Starship Enterprise. They've done
Taj Mahal,
Eiffel Tower, pretty much everything. I think they've even built computers within the computer game.
Yes, yes.
Is the sort of the level of detail in the gameplay. But yeah, they finally, it was basically written by one guy. And he's finally sold out.
Yeah, and now he's very rich.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yes, £1.2 billion.
Nice.
Yes. Oh, that's a good bit of pocket money.
He did reject their initial offers a few months ago, and I think they've worked on him a bit better.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we'll be back in a couple of minutes talking to Chris Muller of the Cottenham Repair Cafe. I think a quick break for some traffic and travel and music.
James Morrison and Nelly Furtado and Broken Strings, which links us nicely into our next topic on the Gadget Guide.
Yep, thanks, thanks, Tim. Welcome back along to the Gadget Guide. And we're joined now by Chris. Chris, welcome along. Thanks for coming in this evening.
Hi.
Chris, you're from the Cottenham Repair Cafe. Do you want to just start by explaining a little bit about what a repair cafe is for those who might not have heard them?
Sure. A repair cafe is a space that gets set up somewhere where people who enjoy repairing things come along and sit at a table, and people who have things that are broken bring them along, and where possible we fix them.
What sort of things are you talking here? Just anything and everything? Or
anything which is small enough to carry. Depending on what it is, we may or may not be able to do anything with it. But very common things are small domestic appliances of any kind, mobile phones and things like that, computers, bicycles, even things like pottery that's been broken and needs gluing together. Anything really.
So I guess the typical one might be if you've got your nice shiny new phone, hopefully not one of the brand new ones announced this week, but got yourself a phone, maybe you've dropped it, smashed mm-hmm. the screen a bit, and you see a lot of those going around. Are you able to do replacements? Oh, well, I see Lawrence has brought along some
bits and needs fixing.
Yeah.
There's a limit to what you can do. We normally allow something like 20 minutes or half an hour for each repair. So it needs to be something which we can realistically do something with in that sort of time. And difficult things like certainly the high-end mobile phones and fancy digital cameras and so on, you can barely get the cover off in 20 or 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So it really isn't fair to spend lots of time
of
doing
course.
Something difficult like that when you've got lots of people queuing up in the cafe waiting for you to look at things.
So how does it work for parts and things? I mean, if I guess you guys aren't going to have a stock of parts for every bits and pieces, so do you advise people that if they've got something broken, see if they can find a part and bring it along as well?
Well, if they've got a spare part, then brilliant. What we often do is we send them down to G's and Mill Road and say buy a bit and bring it along to the next repair cafe.
Nice.
That works quite well.
So this is the first event, isn't it, in Cottenham?
This is the first time we've done it in Cottenham, yes.
You're presumably hoping to make that a regular event, are you?
Yeah, well, we envisage it'll be a sort of quarterly thing, that sort of
right.
frequency.
Very nice. But it's definitely not the first of these repair cafes to happen, isn't there? There's, I know, several others around this area and further afield.
Yes, in fact, it's part of a repair cafe network, which is worldwide, started in the Netherlands with about 200 repair cafes now, and there's now over 400 worldwide.
Wow, and I think there's about 16, 15, 20, something along those lines in the UK as well. One certainly in Cambridge City and one, I think, down in Royston.
And most of those have started up just in the past 12 months, so it's very much thing of the time.
And it's interesting because it used to always be the case, didn't it, traditionally going back to maybe 20 years ago, that if your TV broke, you'd get the TV repairman out.
Yep, and someone would come and fix it.
You just don't do that typically nowadays, do you? Certainly until very recently with this sort of movement springing up.
Well, 20 years ago, a TV had a circuit diagram in the back.
Well, you definitely don't get that now.
Or actually in the manual, if you...
Yes, indeed.
You studied the manual, yes. I know that things like video cassette recorders had circuit diagrams that came in the manual. Yeah.
Oh, all you had to do with those was stick your thumb in the wheel and tighten the tape off of it most of the time, wasn't it?
The paradox is that if you've got some electronic gadget that's 20 years old, you're probably more likely to get it repaired at the repair cafe than something which is newer.
Yes.
And Chris, you've been involved in starting this one up. I'm guessing this isn't your day job, is it?
No, this isn't my day job. I do a very different job. And it's a job where I don't have any hands-on engineering opportunities, and so this is a kind of antidote to that, where I can actually...
Great example to actually get out and actually get hands-on and make things work again.
Yes, and quite honestly, when you see the delight on someone's face when you bring their whatever it is back from the dead, that's worth... It's priceless, really.
So what's the most challenging thing you think you'll have presented to you?
Oh, dear. Well, somebody asked if they could bring an iPad along, Well, having checked out videos of people taking the fronts off iPads, even with practice, you tend to break all the metal clips.
Yeah, and they aren't the easiest things to take apart.
Apple have gone to lots of trouble to make it difficult.
Surely not.
No, they made it easy for themselves to repair, but no one else.
Yes.
Yes. Just looking at some of the other repair cafes that have been running, I mean, even things like knitted stuff.
Yeah. I mean, usually we aim to get somebody along who's good at either knitting or sewing or both, to do things like small repairs and for clothing.
So where's this happening, Chris? It's in Cottenham, we've mentioned, but whereabouts within the village?
It's happening at the community centre on the corner of the High Street.
Okay, so that's if people aren't familiar, maybe if they're coming from Cambridge City itself, it's basically you go up into Cottenham, maybe up through Histon, keep going, and I think it's one of the old churches.
It's the old Methodist chapel just on the corner opposite the co-op.
Right.
But there's no parking right next to it, so you'll have to park a little way away and carry whatever it is in there with you.
Okay, so no bringing washing machines along?
No, preferably not.
You can just see someone with a sack barrow arriving with their washing machine, can't you? Yes.
Well, actually, I do bring a sack barrow along with about 80 kilos of tools and spares and so on.
Right, so you'll have all the tools and glues and bits
hopefully
and
everything you'll need. Well, somebody will bring something along that I haven't got a tool for. It's bound to happen.
Of course, yes. So this is going to be on the 20th, Saturday the 20th?
Saturday the 20th, yes.
That's next week, Saturday. Starting what time?
It's running from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is the same time that the community centre is open itself.
And what sort of process, how does it actually happen? Do people sort of come up, put their stuff on the table, walk away and come back a few hours later, or is it more interactive kind of?
We'd like to make it interactive. Each repair cafe has an administrator who logs people in and finds out what they've got and what's wrong with it, roughly. Works out which of the repairers is most likely to be able to fix it. And then probably you have to have a wait in the cafe.
But there's worse places.
But it's a very nice place
to wait. You've got tea and cake options there.
Yeah, there's tea and cake and coffee and all that kind of stuff. And and in fact, there'll be free coffee and cake for the repairers themselves.
Aha, so the way to get free cake is to come and volunteer your services. So are you looking for people to volunteer and come and help?
We could do with one or two more, yes.
Right. What sort of skills are you after?
We're still short on the sewing and knitting on this particular one. But other general repair skills. People who come along to do repairs tend to be jacks of all trades, and so a few jacks of all trades who can turn their hand to anything.
You've got your glue ready to glue someone's furniture together, as well as your soldering iron to fix someone's electricals.
Indeed, I have a box of different glues and adhesives of various kinds.
And just finally, Chris, is it something you'd ask people to make a donation for in return for maybe a successful repair, or how does it work?
There is a donation box, and the donation box helps to pay for the coffee and cake for the repairers and things like that. Also, the repairers can claim against it for the
cost
of
your consumables,
spares and things. You can have the whole thing for free if you feel that. That's fine too.
Fantastic. When are you going to hope to hold another one after this one?
There's one happening in Royston on the 26th of October. That's the next one I know about. And then there's a restart party happening in Cambridge at the end of October.
Right.
At the end of September. We imagine that we'll do another Cottenham Repair Cafe probably before Christmas sometime. I don't
Fantastic, have a date because
yet.
It was last year we had the council in to talk about recycling gadgets by throwing them away. So we're going to hope that more people will actually recycle gadgets by making them work again.
And before you go down to the dump with your whatever it is, think about bringing it along to a repair cafe.
Any need to book or just turn up?
It's a good idea to book.
How do you do that?
There's an Eventbrite website URL, which I can't remember off the top of my head.
But if you Google Repair Cafe Cottenham,
you'll get there.
Find you guys very quickly that way.
And the tickets there, you book a ticket as though it were for a show or something, but it's free.
Excellent.
We then email you and ask you to give us some indication of what you're bringing along so that we can make sure we've got the right tools and the right skills available.
Set some expectations. Great stuff. Fantastic.
Very good. Well, Chris, thanks very much for joining us this evening, and I hope it goes very well for you on the 20th. So it's the Cottenham Repair Cafe, 20th of September, 10 in the morning onwards, and just drop that into Google and you can book your place on the Eventbrite page.
Indeed. Thank you very much.
That's about all for us this fortnight.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Rob, Lawrence and Chris, for coming in. More Gadget Guide in two weeks' time?
2 weeks' time.
Okay.